being connected together. And I want to start with this quote from Brené Brown. If you can have it up on the screen. She says the following, true belonging. I don't know exactly what it is about the combination of those two words, but I do know that when I say it out aloud, it just feels right. It feels like something that we all crave and need in our lives. We want to be part of something, but we need it to be real, not conditional or fake or constantly up for negotiation. We need true belonging, but what exactly is it? And I don't know about you, but when I read that, I really resonate with it. And there's something that sounds right about it. And just saying true belonging makes me feel like comfortable and like I'm at home and like everything's going to be all right. And like Timor said, it just feels awesome. But the thing is, what is true belonging? So Brené Brown, who is a well-known author and a research professor, she defines it this way. She says, belonging is the innate human desire to be part of something larger than us. And I think we all resonate with this idea of true belonging because there is this innate desire inside of us for it. And what I want to put to you this morning is that the reason for that is that God has put this desire in our hearts. And actually, the only way to fulfill that desire is in God. And that's another key to understanding our purpose. And if you're here and you're just joining us, we're in week 3 of a 6-week series looking at purpose and answering the question, what on earth am I here for? And what we've learned so far is that we were created by God and for God. And the thing is that life doesn't make sense outside of that foundational truth. And God, as our creator, has these certain callings on our life. And the first calling, which we looked at last week, is that you are called to be loved. God made you for a relationship with him. And before you do anything for God or you do anything else, you just have to be loved by God. You just have to accept his love because you're called to be loved. And this week we look at the second calling of life, and it's this. You're not only called to be loved, but you're also called to belong to God's family. And that's something that's larger than us that we all have this innate desire for. And very often we try to satisfy that desire in other things. But what I want to put to you this morning is that it's only in God's family, only in God, that we can really satisfy this desire, that we can find true belonging, the kind of belonging that is not fake, that is not conditional, that is not up for negotiation, that's really real. And so the second purpose that we're going to look at this morning is that God has formed you for his family. If God hadn't wanted a family, you wouldn't exist. But God made you because he loves you and he wants you to love him back. As we looked at in purpose groups this week, that our response to God's love is to love him back, to worship him. And he wants you to be part of his family because you were formed. Part of your purpose is to be part of God's family. And this has been God's plan for all of time, before the beginning of time. If we look at Ephesians 1 and verse 5, it says the following. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. And predestined is a big word, but it essentially means that before God created anything, before time existed in eternity past, God had it in his mind, he had a plan that he was going to adopt you into his family because of his pleasure, because of his will to do that. And so it's always been God's plan to do this, to adopt you into his family. And what is God's family? Well, the Bible says that God's family is his church. God is our father, and we are all his sons and daughters. And there are many New Testament verses which expound this theme, but I just want to look at two. And the first is in Timothy. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says the following, if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. God's household is another way of saying God's family, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. And so we see, that, you know, as Paul's writing to Timothy, he's saying, God's household, God's family, this is the church. We also see it in the life of Jesus. So we look in Matthew, and Jesus was teaching people in a room, and his mother and brothers came and said they wanted to speak to him. And someone came in and said, Jesus, your mother and brothers are outside. They want to chat to you. And his response was very interesting. He said to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And so Jesus defines his family not as his nuclear physical family, but as us. We're his brothers and sisters. We're the family of God. So the church is the family of God. The church is not a place. The church is not something you go to. The church is something that you belong to. It's not an event, and it's not a location. The church is a relationship. So sure, we worship here at Kigger Conference Center on a Sunday morning. We have a place here, but the church is us. It's the people of God. It's our relationship. And so I want you to turn to someone next to you that you are not related to and just tell them, hey, we are family. Because the church, us, we are the family of God, and we are called to belong to the church. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to unpack, what does it mean to belong to the church, to really truly belong? And I also want to look at what are the benefits of belonging to the church, of finding true belonging. Because God designed his family, the church, to meet our deepest needs. And in the Bible, the church is referred to as many different metaphors. We just looked at one, which is the church as a family. But the church is also described as a temple. It's also described as God's body. It's described as a flock, and it's also described as a vineyard. And each of these have profound implications for your life. And so what I want to do this morning is help you understand the meaning of these five metaphors so that you can understand that the church, God's family, was designed to meet your deepest needs. And the way I want to do this is by telling you some of my personal story. And not because my story is remarkable in any way, but because by God's grace, I have experienced these benefits of belonging to the church. And I think it's no exaggeration to say that this is the primary thing that has shaped my life. And I think also, you know, one of the reasons why I want to do this is that in families, we tell our stories. We're vulnerable, we're real, and we're open with each other. And so I actually felt really led by God this week to change the sermon plan and to rather tell it in a very personal way. And so my story of knowing Jesus started when I was really young. I was 4 or 5, and I remember very clearly I was sitting on the pew of a Methodist church in Natal in South Africa. My mom was next to me, my dad was preaching, and my dad was preaching on this passage from Revelation where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." And there was this invitation at the end on who wants to open the door to Jesus. And I remember just thinking as a small little guy, hey, actually, I want this. I want Jesus in my life. I want to open the door to him. And so when the invitation came, I put up my little hand to respond. And I prayed the prayer that my dad led us in. And right then, I was saved. I began a relationship with Jesus. My sins were forgiven. And that relationship then continued. But obviously, I was very young and fairly immature. And so there was lots of things I needed to learn. And as a child, I was actually really insecure. I had this real need to please other people. And in particular, when I was at school, especially in the younger years at school, I had this real desire to be popular. And so I tried really hard. And even had some friends who were popular mainly through sport. But I was never really quite in. And that made me insecure. And I was just expressing this need to belong, but I was looking for it in the wrong place because I was looking to be popular as something to find my security and identity in. But that was something that was totally conditional. It was conditional on kind of what you looked like and what you said and the things that you had, and so it was totally fake. And at the root, I think, of this identity problem that led to the insecurity was that I was looking to other people to determine my identity. And I think, identity is how we see ourselves, right? It's the picture that we have of ourselves. And very often, we use other people as the mirror through which we view ourselves. And my mirror as a child was kind of what other people thought of me and whether they thought I was cool or not. But our mirrors can be many other things. We can reflect what we think of ourselves through our marriage, through our kids, through our career, through whether we have a good body or not. But the problem is that we are looking for identity horizontally, whereas God has hardwired us to find our identity vertically. And when we look at horizontal mirrors, we're always going to get a distorted picture of ourselves, a picture that doesn't quite make sense, because if we get our identity from those things, it's always going to be conditional, it's always going to be fake, it's always going to be up for negotiation. But God, our Creator, is the only perfect mirror through which we can see ourselves and see our true identity, because he's the one who made us. And so it's his voice that counts. It's his opinion that counts. And so That is the key to finding true identity. And what I want to put to you is that belonging to his family, belonging to the church, helps us get this right. And it certainly helped me get it right. I want to look at Hebrews 2 and chapter 11, which says the following. Both the one who makes people holy, that's Jesus, and those who are made holy, that's us, are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. And so the truth is that Jesus is my brother, and when God looks at me, he sees a son. And when he looks at me, he sees holy. And it's not because I am holy or anything I've done makes me holy. Actually, the Bible says that, you know, whatever, even my good deeds are like filthy rags. The reason why God sees me as holy is because when Jesus died on the cross, he said, Calvin, I'm taking all your sin, all your filthy rags on myself. I'm taking the punishment for those things. And in return, I'm giving you my perfect holy life. And so when I was 4 or 5 and I gave my life to Jesus, that's what happened. That transaction happened, and I became holy. And so when God the Father looks at me, he sees a holy Calvin. And so that changes your identity. That changes the sort of the security that you have, because it's real and it's not up for negotiation. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it's finished. And that was that. You know, it cannot be changed. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When I put my faith in him, and that can never be changed. And so that provides like a deep-rooted reality and security. Another verse that says the same sort of thing is Romans chapter 8. For those God foreknew, he also predestined, there's that word again, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And so when God sees us, he sees the image of his son. And in my late teens and my early 20s, this truth radically changed me. I started going to a youth group, and then I was discipled by a guy called Stephen Ryan. He preached here a couple of weeks ago, and when we were appointed elders. And through that process, I got to know men who were secure and free. And the truth of the gospel started to penetrate my insecure heart. I started to realize, hey, I'm a son, I'm adopted into his family. When God sees me, he sees Jesus, and that's never going to change, no matter what I do. And when I say this radically changed me, I'm not exaggerating. So, you know, people who know me now will tell you that I'm really robust and secure. I'm not worried about what other people think of me necessarily. I'm comfortable with who God's made me to be, and I'm not trying to be anything else. And so that's just God's amazing grace in my life, that he turned something that was a real weakness into something that's now a real strength. And I really believe that happened in my life by God's grace through belonging to a family. It was by seeing examples of other men. It was by hearing the preaching of the word, hearing the gospel, hearing it and how I should apply it to my life that changed things for me. And so the first benefit of belonging to God's family is that we find our true identity. So I grew up in Natal, as I said, and then, you know, when I was 18, I went to university in Cape Town. That was 1994. And that's when I joined a church called Jubilee Community Church, which is where I met Steve. It's also where I met Belinda, my wife. And as I reflect back on my life, joining that church was really a life-defining moment in many significant ways. And at the time I joined Jubilee, it was the mid-90s, and there was a really amazing move of God's Spirit at that time around the world. And what I encountered at Jubilee was people who were really passionate about God and earnestly seeking God. And they weren't kind of weird and super spiritual. These were down-to-earth, ordinary people, but they were really passionate about God. And in that community, I experienced the presence of God like I hadn't before. And it was something that was deeply personal. God would speak to me, and we'd have these extended times of just being in God's presence and experiencing his love, experiencing his power. And in those times, I learned to hear God's voice prophetically for other people. I learned to discern God's voice, what he's saying to other people. Not that I'm particularly gifted in this area, but I think we can all hear God's voice. And in that time, it was pivotal moment for me in kind of learning to discern that. And God also spoke to me prophetically, very significant things that, you know, I totally didn't understand at the time, but have been worked out in my life and I'm now experiencing. And so, you know, I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, much earlier when I was 12. I spoke in tongues, but this was a a new experience, much deeper and personal experience of the presence of God together in this community. And you know, the church is also referred to by this metaphor of being the temple of God. And that's what I was experiencing. In Ephesians, we read the following: "For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." And so in the Old Testament, in the temple in Jerusalem, in the inner place, in the Holy of Holies, that's the only place that God's presence dwelt. But when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain of the Holy of Holies was torn in two. And so God's presence is now available in the church, available to us, and it's not just in one place. And so what we can see from these verses is that this experience of God's presence is something that we experience together as the church. It's not an individual thing, it's a community thing. And you see that in verses 21 and 22, which both use the word together. It says, "In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a temple. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling by which God lives by his Spirit." And this is also my experience. So in purpose groups this week, you might have answered the question as part of the icebreaker, when, where, and how do you experience the presence of God? And for me, my answer was, most of the time it's when I'm together with other people, when I'm together with the church. And so for me, it's the O2 prayer meeting before church on a Sunday morning at 9:15. It's as we having corporate worship together like we did this morning, just hearing God's voice, experiencing his presence. And so it's something that happens together as a church. And so I want to encourage us to grow in this as a community. The Bible says that we've each been given spiritual gifts for the building up of the church. And it says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And so if you feel like when we're together on a Sunday morning or you're in a life group and you feel like, hey, God's given me something, he's given me a word to bring to the church, then I want to encourage you to go for it in that. And so that we can hear the voice of God together. And I know that we're a fairly young church, and it's not often that people come to the front and bring contributions, and it really requires courage to do that, especially on a Sunday morning. But I really want to encourage us together to go for it in that. And even if you're unsure, you're not 100% sure about the word that you've got to bring, there's safety in the elder that's anchoring, that's on duty, and you can come and chat to him and share it with him, and that elder is also responsible for weighing the word. But your responsibility is to come and bring it. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage us together to grow in this as a community. And also just want to say, if you haven't yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's an experience of being filled with God's power, of being immersed in the Holy Spirit that happens after you're saved, then really pursue that. The Holy Spirit is an amazing gift that gives us power, that helps us to live the Christian life. Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And we have this course called Thirst, which we run about every quarter, and details will be coming up soon on when we're doing the next Thirst. But that's a wonderful opportunity to learn more about this. It's an informal opportunity just to ask questions, to explore, and also to be prayed for, and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the second benefit of belonging to the church is that together, in God's temple, we experience his power and his presence. So continuing with my story, at Jubilee I met all these people that were passionate about God, and one of them was actually Belinda, and I started pursuing a relationship with her, but part of the challenge was, like, Sundays was one of the only opportunities to do that, and she was often so busy, like, being prayed for, praying for other people at the end of the service, and passionately pursuing God, that it was difficult to do that, but I persevered. And so after a few years, we started dating. And at that time, Steve also drew alongside me and started to disciple me. And I was part of this group of young guys that would meet every week with Steve and just chat through life and pray together. And I think being part of that group profoundly impacted me in many ways. But one of the things that I really learned from Steve and got from him was just this vision for the local church. It was like I understood for the first time the significance and the centrality of the local church, and that Jesus so closely identifies with this church that he refers to it as his own body. And we see this in Ephesians 1, and verse 22 and 23, where Paul says, And God placed all things under his feet, that's under Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be head over everything. Now, so Jesus is reigning, he's sovereign, he's got everything under his feet. And if we say everything, it means everything. So all earthly powers and governments, all of creation, both here on the earth and in the universe, all spiritual powers, everything is under Jesus' feet. He's reigning. And Paul says that is for the church, for his body. And so you can't really place the church in a higher place than that. Jesus is ruling and reigning for us because we're his body. And you also see this in the story of Saul on the road to Damascus. So Saul has been persecuting the church. He's stoned Stephen. He's locking up people. He's killing people that are part of the church. And Jesus appears to Saul on the road to Damascus. And he speaks to him and he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And the very interesting thing is that Jesus doesn't say, "Why are you persecuting the church, this organization that I'm affiliated with?" He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Because Jesus so closely identifies with the church as his own body. And when you persecute the church, when you hurt the church, you're hurting Jesus himself. And so the penny really dropped for me in terms of this, that Jesus gave his life for the church and it's his body. And so I also want to give my life to this. It's not something to be casual about, to kind of be loosely affiliated to just go to on a Sunday. I'm called to really belong to the church and to give myself to it. And actually, I realized that Jesus' body can't function properly if I don't respond this way. Because Jesus created me with specific gifts, and actually I'm a particular part of the body. And if I'm not playing my part, then the whole body can't be as effective as it should be. Which was something that, like up to that point, I had somehow doubted. I think, you know, being, you know, somewhat insecure as a child, it led to a lack of self-confidence. And so I doubted that I really had much contribution at all to make to the church, and I was pretty sure that I could never be a leader in the church. But with this new understanding of having a role in the body and this growing sense of identity in God, that I'm a son, and this experience of being filled with God's Spirit and his power, and with people that were investing in my life and seemed to believe in me, I started to take these first like small steps of serving in the church. And the first step I took was I became an intern in a life group. And that's really like someone who's training to be the leader of the life group. It was a life group that involved students. But very, very soon, the life group multiplied, and I was asked to lead one of the new life groups. And I really came to that with fear and trembling. I really doubted, can I do this? But God helped me, and there was kind of a really significant moment, maybe 6 months after I started leading that life group. We were in a university dorm room, and at the end of the meeting, one of the girls in our group came to me and said, "Hey, I've been coming to this group for a while now, but actually, I haven't committed my life to Jesus, and I really want what you guys have got, and would you pray for me to be adopted into God's family?" And it was a really, so I prayed with her, and she became a Christian that day, and it was a really watershed moment for me, because, you know, I realized, hey, I don't have much to offer, but God is using me to build his church. And so that was the beginning of my journey of really giving myself to building the local church, of giving my loaves and fishes, whatever I had, of taking the small gifts that God had given me and using them for God. And it's really a journey that has developed and resulted in actually us revolving our whole lives around this. So we moved from Cape Town to Dar es Salaam, specifically to plant God's tribe with another couple. And then we moved from Dar es Salaam to Nairobi to start this church. And so our whole lives are orientated around kind of giving ourselves to building God's church. And that really happened from understanding, hey, I've got a part to play, when I thought that maybe I didn't. And so the third benefit of belonging to God's church, to his body, is that we learn our unique value, that we each have this unique role to play that God's given us. And, you know, our role is not more important or less important than anyone else's, but God has specifically created us to play a role in the body. And that role doesn't make sense in isolation. So it's not like the eye can be effective if it's totally detached from the body. The gifts are designed by God to be used in the body and for the building up of the body. And again, in Ephesians, we see this in chapter 4, where Paul says the following: "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." So Christ ascended, and by grace, he's given gifts to each one of us. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And so we see that for God to use us, we need to be in the body and use our unique roles and gifts to build up the body. And so back to the story. Blind and I dated for like 2 years, and then when I was 23, we got engaged. And at the point of getting engaged, I got sick. And so I'd been like really amazingly healthy up until that point, but suddenly and unexpectedly, I got like really sick. And that was a sickness that lasted for 7 years. And it was a really, really dark period in my life. I was 6 months after we got married, I was put on disability leave. I was off work for 2 years. I was bedridden during that time. And there were many, many times when I thought, hey, am I ever going to be well again? I was chronically and very, very deeply sick. And while it was a dark experience, one of the real rays of sunlight, the joys of that time, was how the church cared for me. And they cared for me like I was a brother. The elders took like a really personal interest in supporting me. And they would call me regularly just to pray with me, to encourage me. And actually, one of the elders, like amazingly for a season, he literally phoned me every single day. He would phone me, he would pray for me, he'd encourage me, and he did that for like weeks. And there were friends who would just pop over regularly and be with me, just be my friend, chat to me. Now, there's times when I could just lie on the couch and they'd be there and they'd pray for me. People offer practical help, so even things like, I wasn't strong enough to do stuff, so people would offer to come around to our house before we had guests over and just tidy the house for us and just wash the dishes. And so it was a really moving experience, just seeing this thing of the church in action and being like family and caring for us in our moment of need. And so, the metaphor that the Bible uses of the church in this regard is that it's a flock. So, we're a flock with Jesus as the chief shepherd and with elders and other leaders as under-shepherds that are providing care and protection. We see this in Acts, Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:28, and he says to the Ephesian elders, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." And so, the words church and flock are used interchangeably here. And so by belonging to the church, we receive care and protection as part of God's flock. But what I want to say to you is that doesn't just happen automatically by pitching up a church on a Sunday. Because belonging is more than that. It's about relationship. It's about being connected. It's about being part of a family. In order to do that, you need to let yourself be known. And you need to let other people know you. You need to apply the many one another verses in the Bible. Like, love one another. Care for one another. Help one another. Encourage one another. Support one another. Pray for one another. Greet one another, on and on and on. 58 of those one another verses. And so I want to challenge us this morning, who are you actually doing that with? And, is it really possible for you to just come to church on a Sunday and work out what it means to truly belong? My contention is that it's probably not. And that what actually need is deeper community. And so that's the primary reason why at One Tribe we have life groups. So we have these small groups that meet midweek where we can really know and support each other and protect and care for each other. And, I've been in life groups for more than 20 years. And my consistent testimony is that I've experienced the love of God through other people. And I've grown in my relationship with him through being part of life groups. And so if you're not part of a life group in One Tribe, I'd encourage you to sign up for one. There's many across the city. And you can sign up at the welcome desk, find out more. And we also have purpose groups at the moment, which are running for 6 weeks. We've got another 4 weeks to go. But if you haven't joined one yet, it's not too late. And you can join for the remaining 4 weeks. And that's a four-week period in which you can check it out and see, like, is what I'm saying true? And is this for you? But my encouragement is that it is, and that when you do that, when you follow God's calling to belong, and you really deeply engage in it, then you find this benefit of being protected and cared for, and just experiencing the love of God through other people. Great. So then the last metaphor that I want to look at is that the church of God is described as a garden, and specifically as a vineyard. The famous verse in John 15, verse 5, says the following: "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so we are the branches that are connected to Jesus. And as a result, we grow and bear fruit, and our lives become productive. And in the video, several people mentioned this theme of growth and connection to belonging. And I think it's really true. So you can't really grow if you're a lone ranger. You know, branches that are disconnected, what happens to them is that they wither and die. But when you're connected to Jesus, when you're connected to his body, that's how we grow, that's how we become fruitful. And so the fifth benefit of belonging to God's family is that your life becomes fruitful. And this has really been my experience. You know, so when I was 18, when I was young, if you had told me that today I would be involved in starting and leading churches, if you had told me that I would be involved in starting and leading businesses, I really wouldn't have believed you. Because, yeah, I didn't really think much of myself at that time. But God has done it. He took what was not and has made it grow and has brought the fruit. And there's this verse in 1 Corinthians, verse 127, that says the following: "God chose the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." And I really feel like that's me, that I wasn't much. God took something that was not, and he made it grow. And so my boast is in God. You know, it's his grace that's been at work in my life. And my part was just to belong and to give myself. And then God took that, and his power, you know, has been at work in me. And by his grace, you know, it's really by his grace I've known all of these benefits of true belonging to the church. And so God has called us all to belong to the church. And his word promises that when you do this, that you will experience the same benefits. And so don't believe it just based on my testimony. You rather believe it because this is what the word of God says. This is what God promises. Because you're called to be loved, but you're also called to belong. And I want to submit to you that you cannot find these things outside of the church. That's because, you know, God's designed this whole thing. He created this whole thing, his family, so that our deepest needs are met in community in the church. And so my question to you, my challenge to you is, why would you want to remain disconnected when all of this is on offer in the church? So, you know, maybe you've been coming to One Tribe, you attend, but you don't really belong. And so I want to say to you, now's the time. You're called to belong, to be connected, to be associated, to be included. And some of you, you know, maybe your families are far away. Maybe you are in an unsupportive family or marriage relationship. Many of you are also single adults. And you know, what we're saying is that we will be your family. Maybe all your life you've tried to fit in, and you know, you've tried to be accepted, and you've looked for places to belong, but you haven't found it. You're like, I never quite belong. But you do here. You belong here at One Tribe. And regardless of who you are or what you've done, whatever your background is, whatever you look like, it doesn't matter. You're wanted here. You have a family here at One Tribe, and you're welcome to belong. And not only, yeah, you're not only wanted, you're welcomed. And so I just want to say, how do you respond to this if you wanted to take practical steps to belong more? Well, the first thing I'd say is that if you haven't yet given your life to Jesus, if you haven't asked him to forgive your sins and to be adopted into his family, then that's the first step. You know, Jesus stands at the door and knocks and says, you know, if you just let me in, I will come and be your friend. I'll be your brother. And I'll give you an opportunity to do that in a moment if that's you. But then secondly, I'd say, let everybody know that you're in. And the way that you do that is by being baptized, because baptism is like the public declaration saying, hey, I'm in the family of God. I'm in. I'm a follower of Jesus. And so I encourage you to be baptized in water. We have baptisms maybe every few months. And so when the next one is announced, I encourage you to sign up for that and to be baptized. And then I'd also say, join a local church. So, you know, there are many great local churches in Nairobi, but if this is your spiritual home, then become a member of this church. You know, really commit and join One Tribe. And, you know, Kogi was mentioning earlier, we have a Pumoja course that happens next Sunday. It happens about every 8 weeks. But the Pumoja course is about what does it mean to be a member of One Tribe, and finding out more about the vision and values of the church, opportunity to ask questions. And so I encourage you, if you're coming along and you're not yet a member, and you consider this your spiritual home, to get along to Pumoja. And then the fourth thing I'd say is get into a life group. So, and I've already mentioned this, but I think, you know, being connected, really belonging, a lot of that happens in life group. And for the rest of you, if you say, "Hey, I'm already baptized, I'm a member of this church, and I'm in a life group," to you, I'd say, fall more in love with the church. You know, this is God's body, this is His flock, this is His family, and it's the most brilliant concept ever created. The church is the hope of the world, because it's the church which spreads the good news, the message that saves people, that saves families, that saves marriages, that changes hearts. And the church is the only thing that's going to live forever. So I highly recommend that you invest the rest of your life in what's going to outlast your life, because nothing else will. So I want to close with this verse from Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:21 says, "To him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So you see, the Bible says that the two things bring glory to God. One is Jesus, he's the Son of God, and the other is the church, which is the family of God. Those are the things that bring glory to God. And those are our purpose. We are called to belong to the church. So I just want to pray for us as a church, that God would help us in this. So maybe ask Sam if you could come up again. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died, you gave your life so that we could have relationship with the Father and with you. Thank you that you died so that we could be adopted into your family. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. And Lord, I thank you for the wonder of this family, that as we belong to it, we receive all these amazing benefits, that we receive what we really need in life. And Lord, my prayer is for One Tribe, that we would be a real community, a genuine community, where all of these things are true. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to love each other deeply, to care for each other deeply, to be known by each other, and to be fully loved by each other. I pray by your Holy Spirit, God, that you'd pour out your presence here amongst us. The deepest experience of your presence would be as we gather together. God, I pray that for every person, just to have a sense of real identity in you, of security in you, to know that you love us, and you've given us each specific gifts and talents that you want to use for your glory. And I pray that here at One Tribe, those would be deployed for your glory, Lord God, that no one would feel like, "Hey, I don't have anything to give here. I'm just going to sit on the benches." Just pray, Lord, that you would get everyone involved in the game. And yeah, that we would be on a mission for you together. I ask you to do that by your Holy Spirit. That if you're here and you're actually saying, "Well, I can't belong to God's family because I haven't yet accepted Jesus. I'm not a follower of Jesus." Then what Jesus would say to you today is that He loves you. He gave His very life for you so that you could have this relationship, and it's an open invitation. It's not something that you have to work towards. God's grace is free and it's available today. And Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and He says, if you'll just let me in, I'll come in and have a relationship with you. And my testimony is that this has completely changed my life. It's the best decision that you could ever make. And so if that's you, if you want to say yes to Jesus this morning, you want to invite Jesus into your life, just want to pray with you. Just give you an opportunity to do that. So why don't you pray this prayer if that's you, just in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you died for my sins. Jesus, today, I just want to tell you that I know that I need you. And I want to ask you to forgive my sins, to wash me clean, to make me new. I want to give my life to following you. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, then I'd love to pray with you this morning. I don't want you to leave here and not have had the opportunity to talk to someone about the decision that you've made. And so if that's you, I really just encourage you to come and chat to me afterwards. I've got a book that I'd love to give you called Get Started, which helps you in the first step of the faith. So if that's you and you prayed that prayer, I just feel like don't be casual about this. This is life-changing stuff. And so come and chat to me. And also if you feel like, hey, I've actually been far from God and I haven't really committed myself, I haven't really felt like I've belonged to your church, Lord, then I'd also love to pray with you. You know, maybe God is speaking to you this morning. He's calling you back. And what I can say to you is that there's no better decision than to commit your life to Jesus, to belonging to his church, to following him. It's where we find true life, true meaning. Yeah, so I'd love you to come and chat to me as well, if that's you. Okay, amen.